Why do the wrestlers in the ring want the people to chant the name of the promotion? It used to be, go Ricky, go. Go, now it's ECW. Oh, great, I just fractured my fucking sacroiliac, broke my fucking leg, and shoved a fucking wooden spike up my taint. And they're not chanting Jim, 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 they're chanting ECW. Great.
Oh, my mic. Yeah, yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. We're rolling?
Yeah, I guess. Yep, we're doing it.
Okay.
Here we go. And Mark. You're just not going to edit this at
Roll
all.
Roll sound. All right.
So you had something you wanted to do.
I have something I want to talk about, okay?
Okay. Oh, wow.
Intervention.
Oh, boy.
Intervention.
Intervention on who?
Also setting the noise level.
Don't you
early
say
for
me.
Your whiny friends out in Utah. Yeah,
don't you say
oh, the episode, your dynamics.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Yeah. I passed that note along, guys. It was not well received.
No, it didn't go over well with me, you bunch of popcorn farts. Mm. Anyway, intervention on friend of the pod, Tanner.
Ooh, intervention on Tanner. I was going to say, you better not say me. Don't you ambush
no.
me with an intervention.
Fuck
I
no.
love all of my problems.
No, you think there's any scenario where I wouldn't recruit you for a good old-fashioned pile-on?
Yeah.
Come
good,
on now.
Good.
I've been friends longer than that.
Wonderful.
Okay, let me take a little bevy here.
Yeah. Oh, God. He doesn't know. His ears prickled up. That hair on the back of your neck went, whoop.
Now, as we record this, he's watching the Adam Sandler classic, That's My Boy. You brought up a good point, which is he just sent a text that indicates he might end up unironically loving this movie.
I hope not. It is one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time.
It's
That's
horrible.
My Boy. I saw it. It's like, I like watching bad films. I go back sometimes and watch bad films. Again, shitty action flicks, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan of shitty action flicks. You got, like, if Jean-Claude Van Damme is in it, especially, like, my favorite thing that I've been doing lately is going and finding new Jean-Claude Van Damme. Ooh. I saw him in a thing where, like, he doesn't talk because he's got, like, a voice box thing. Like, that's his character. Like, got shot in the throat. That's how much I paid attention. I don't care. Kick people. But this movie, That's My Boy, is just plain, like, it's bad by Adam Sandler standards.
It's bad by any moral standard. Are people out there familiar with the plot and execution of this film?
The people who've seen it are. Someone out there, oh, no, that was pretty good. You shut the fuck up.
Fucking A, Andy.
You shut.
Probably you.
Don't you tell a soul. You take that one to your grave. That's a bad one.
That is, and that's the thing, is I feel like we've got a hot take in the making with Tanner.
Bury that one next to the body in your backyard. It happens.
Yep. And all of fifth grade.
I'm just saying, sometimes you hit a drifter, no one's going to miss them. They're kind of thanking you for it. So now they're buried out back by the pool. Dante.
The angel of death for drifters. They carved that into the post outside of his house so that other drifters know that that's what will happen.
Oh, no, mass hobo grave. We better get out of here.
Where was the hobo code? Why didn't it warn of this?
Dante in overalls runs out with a scattergun, shaking his fist. You damn. Oh, that's fantastic. Can we get that picture? Can we get that picture?
Of Dante.
Friend of the pod, Dante.
I could do him as the junkyard owner from Sandlot. Chopper sick balls.
Ooh, that's fantastic. He's got milky eyes. Can't quite see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do it with his dogs. His two tiny dogs.
Hercules.
They're basically guinea pigs.
Oh, that's fantastic. Please draw that.
Oh, 100%. I'm on it now.
You just set some work for yourself.
That's the thing. Like,
I cannot. Like, I'll do my rendition of it. That is just stick figures, and for some reason, he's got boobs. I don't know.
Actually, that's what we should do, is each of us draw a depiction of that image and then put it up to a vote, because you're going to win. Because everybody that listens to this is like, I understand irony because I listen to this show. What if we vote for the shitty one over the good one? Wouldn't that be ironic of us?
One of these days, I'll bust out a great drawing. Just look, wow, look at the shading on that upper lip.
I worked on it all afternoon.
It's a deep cut.
Is that what it even says?
Something
I know it's
like
Napoleon
that.
Dynamite.
It's a shitty movie, too. That was one that had a lot of hype behind it, and you went and watched it. And you're like, what the fuck was that?
Napoleon Dynamite is the kind of movie that, like, only a bunch of Mormons from Utah could make and have it be hugely successful. It's a Nickelodeon movie, so you're instantly saying, kids movie.
Fair.
You know?
Yep. Coming this summer from Nickelodeon. And it's just, like, backwoods camp massacre. You're like, wow, still a lot of feet in there, Nickelodeon. I don't know. There's a lot of people from, there's a lot of people I find out, like, they were involved with Nickelodeon. Like, during that era where I didn't give a fuck about Nickelodeon, and now you're seeing all these stars that are, like, you know, the 20-somethings that are all up and coming. And I'm like, who the fuck are these people? And they're all Nickelodeon stars? That's weird.
Dude, it's...
I didn't know Ariana Grande was a Nickelodeon star.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Absolutely.
Legit. Like, I'd never seen any of that.
She was on iCarly or something, I think?
I guess.
And then got, like, her spinoff called, the only, like, Cat in the Hat.
The only reason I know is because there was the other girl that was on that show, wrote a book.
Jeanette McCurdy, and it's called I'm Glad My Mom Died.
Yep.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
She was,
about.
Horrible and overbearing, and how the process was brutal for her, and how she had to, like, pass up on a lot of opportunities, and that's why you're like, oh, whatever happened to her? Well, here you go. And it's just like, again, it's that classic, it's like its own little cliche now, is the abused child star. Now, doesn't that make everyone feel good?
Yeah, it's a story we can all really rally behind. The magic of Hollywood.
It's really sad and depressing.
Hey man, life's tough in the Gilded Cage, man. You don't understand what it's like.
Fucking Rush was singing about it, man. Limelight, go check that shit out, man. That's My Boy. Not a good film.
Let's double back to that real quick. That's My Boy. Like, we were going to give them the basic premise.
You go ahead.
It's basically...
Because I watched it, like, again, I watched it once and then walked the fuck away. So I've kind of got the broad stroke, but, like, I can't, you know.
The broad strokes are, your brain is protecting you from remembering anything but the broad strokes.
Yeah, it's one of those, remember... No, I
you
don't
had
want
to heal. You must return.
Remember.
This is not a hole. This is a tunnel. You just haven't found the other side yet.
Oh boy. It feels like a hole. It really, it kind of feels like a hole.
You're burying me.
So what is the premise?
A 13-year-old boy has sex with his teacher. She goes down for stat rape, but is also pregnant.
Yeah. Knocks her up.
So he's a legend at the school, but now he's 13. He's got to raise a baby.
He becomes a celebrity.
They do a sitcom about it and everything. I'm pretty sure he's on it with his real kid. They get like a reality show or a sitcom, one of the two.
And of course, he crashes and burns tremendously over time. And becomes this real scumbag fucking loser who's trying to live off of that old memory. And that's Adam Sandler's character, of course.
And he's everything you can think he would be. He's unhygienic. He's loud. He's annoying. He's rude to the elderly. He's even worse to animals.
He's a fucking shitty dude. And isn't he friends with Vanilla Ice, playing Vanilla Ice?
Oh, sure.
Isn't that like a thing? Yeah.
That's one of them.
And his son... is why can't I think of it?
Sandberg.
Andy Sandberg, yeah. And I don't know why Andy Sandberg signed on. Probably because he's like, this is fucked up and crazy, and thought that's what he was going to get out of it. And he plays the straight character, you know? He's the tight-laced, I don't know what he does, I can't remember, but he does very well.
Yeah, he's like some financial whiz kid.
And he's going to get married to this very attractive woman who we're wondering if it's going to be like, are they right for one another?
Is she fucking her boss?
Yeah.
Because it sure seems like maybe.
Yep.
But there's a twist there. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So he shows up. I think it might be a money thing. I'm not sure.
Donnie owes back tax. Donnie is Adam Sandler. I hate that I remember all this.
Donnie
owes back taxes to the government in excess of like $100,000 or
something.
Like
to make
that.
It interesting.
Sure.
Something to make
just
it interesting.
Just enough.
Yep.
So then he's like, well, I'm going to reconnect with my estranged son, whose name I think is Boba Fett.
It's something stupid. He named him something stupid. And so he goes by something else.
It's yeah. Cause their last, it's Johnny Berger. Yeah. So it's, he goes by Todd, but his real name I think is like Boba Fett Burger or something.
It's something. which again is probably the best part of the whole movie.
I'll give them credit for that. That makes me smile.
Yeah, it's probably the best part of the whole movie, thinking back. I can't remember exactly what the name was. I we might want to look it up.
It was definitely a Star Wars character. It was either Han Solo or Boba Fett. But like he was 13. He didn't know how to parent this child. So anyway, they're like totally estranged, and he's like, well, I guess I'm just going to go reconnect with my kid, and it's the engagement weekend or the weekend before the wedding. I don't know what the fuck you call that.
But basically, it's the movie of him showing up and fucking everything up, but obviously it's what brings out old Boba Fett's, you know, real self. It gets him...
brings the Boba Fett out of Todd.
Yeah, gets you know, pulls a little starch out of his collar. And makes him realize, you know, what kind of person he should be being.
Yeah, the guy
that
hangs out.
It's really one of those kind of film. Yeah.
With a stripper who shoots a billiards ball out of her hush.
Oh, so. Yeah. Also, think about them, crafting that around the crudest story possible.
Oh, my God. It's literally just like the elderly filleting each other and, like, horses fucking people. Like, they'll put anything in there. They put, like, everything in there. Yep. Pretty sure Nick Swardson, like, sticks his head in the lady's ass or something.
Some really fucked up shit happens.
I don't know about that, but...
Probably not that.
You wouldn't be surprised if you watched the movie and found out that was it, right?
But we are wholeheartedly telling you not to.
Please don't.
Please don't watch this film.
It's too late for Tanner. It's not too late for you. It's not too late. Because we're going to save you guys the big twist at the
end of the film,
okay?
We're trying to help you here. We're going to tell you everything.
We're going to tell you the really disgusting twist.
Yeah. So Donnie's like going to try to talk to, you know, his son's fiance. I can't remember exactly what about. He's trying to smooth something over. Maybe she was trying to reach him. I can't remember.
He's trying to smooth something over because he's ruining the wedding. Now he's taking responsibility.
Yeah. But of course, her door to her hotel room is closed. And so he goes out on a ledge and... tries to climb in through her window and finds what?
He catches her fucking her brother.
Yep.
Her biological... It's not like, stepbro, what happened? Yeah, I fell in the dryer.
Yep, it's her biological brother who the entire movie we've thought was a Marine or a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what. We thought he was a military man and he's an exotic dancer.
Yes.
Who puts on that uniform. It's like a tearaway uniform he's been wearing.
Great.
And he's also very mentally stunted, it seems.
It sure does seem like maybe this girl had a developmentally disabled twin brother.
Yeah.
And they decided to do some Cersei Lannister stuff.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's probably the nicest way to put it possible.
And the justification given by this woman for this is, well, we're both really hot, so why wouldn't we?
Yeah. I remember there being a couple of moments where, and again, we saw this in theaters. That was our mistake.
Yep.
And I remember there's a couple times when we looked like I tore my ticket. It was like, well, this is where I would be out, but I want to see where this is going. I stopped caring about the plot. And that happened like three times when they made lines like that. Or like, you know.
Because that's a line that feels like a conversation that Adam Sandler had. I don't think it's weird if biological siblings fuck each other if they're both hot.
Fucking ridiculous.
Alan Covert's over there railing blow. Well, I agree with you, Adam. Put me in another movie.
And now, so you're sitting there going, clearly, Adam Sandler's character, Donnie, then immediately rushes to him to tell him, right? But I believe the venue in which he finally tells him is when they're both standing across from one another at the altar. Isn't that when this whole thing happens? Isn't it at the wedding?
Yes, he has to stop the wedding. And there's like a beautiful girl who's not a stripper, but I guess her mom is. And she's pretty much on track to be one. And not the lady who shot the billiard ball out of her lala. But there's this like young, pretty girl hanging around the strip club with her mama.
Yeah, we jumped some stuff. Yeah. One, two, skip a few, happy ending, whatever.
And then they're just like, well, these guys are perfect for each other now. She and Boba Fett spent maybe one scene together, but they should be together. He shouldn't be with brother fucker.
Yeah.
But also it's at the wedding where...
But also that's why they shouldn't be together, probably.
The brother fucking presents a logistical...
You know, they're incompatible also, so...
Why do our kids have flippers?
In case you guys couldn't get over that first point. Also, they didn't quite work well together. And the movie shows you that pretty quickly.
I can excuse the brother fucking... But there's just no chemistry.
But there's just no chemistry there. So it's like, you know.
So I think that's also where we find out she's fucking her disgusting boss, or his disgusting boss, who's like a big, horrible fat man with a big fupa. Mm-hmm. And I want to say his balls come out at some point or something, or someone's balls are in his mouth. Well, there's something horribly embarrassing
about
him. That
is what the writers for Adam Sandler posit, is that showing old people's balls and breasts couldn't be any funnier. It's literally what like his lifeblood is. Like, oh my God, you know what'd be really funny is if this grandma took off her shirt and everyone saw a titty.
Well, put it in, put
and
it
then,
in.
And then that happens. Look me in the fucking eye. And you tell me that Adam Sandler doesn't do that shit. I've seen more ass in those. Just that fucking scene in Mr. Deeds where the guy's soaping his ass.
Dude, and the
you're getting
is,
a movie out of this, grandma's boy.
Can't believe that movie was a thing too. Although I love Grandma's Boy,
it's fantastic.
It's so good,
but it's also such an. It's like it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a star vehicle for Alan Covert, Rory. Of course, it's bad.
It's fantastic.
They got the best they could out of Linda Cardellini and the guy that plays JP, and
they do such a great job. It's such like a fun. It's up there. It's like it's like a very National Lampoon's type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it is.
It's an astute observation, Rory.
It's you see the life, you see the living, you see the awesome party. The awesome party gives you sort of your conclusion, and then you see the after effect, and you assume they go on living their lives better. It's a National Lampoon movie. A lot of comedy.
Yeah, it's a National Lampoon movie about video game developers who, like, gang up on an autistic, genius video
asshole.
Game developer who thinks he's a robot and
bully
him
and bully him.
Stealing something and getting fired for it.
Yes.
Discredited.
Yeah, yeah. And then the guy who did the developing gets the girl and gets his game made and everyone's happy.
It's horrible.
And Jonah Hill's in it.
He sucks on a titty for like 9 minutes.
Forever. Also not looking his best.
Not really.
Not looking his best in that
it's
film.
It's okay.
It's fine.
It's okay, buddy.
Yeah. He's looking great now. He's real healthy. Really looking healthy, that Jonah Hill.
He's got a lot going on.
You never would have guessed that he got that way by harassing people that he knew until they gave him a shot in Hollywood.
Roy, you know what's so funny? Is you give Sandberg the benefit of the doubt by being like, he was probably in the movie for like Dadaist Tom Green meta reasons. Like,
no,
wouldn't it be so ironic and funny?
I didn't even give Andy Sandberg any credit. Where's his bullshit?
Okay, it sounded like when we first started talking about it, you were like, maybe he did it in an Andy Kaufman way. And I'm like,
No.
You are really giving him the benefit of the doubt because you know why I think he did it was the money.
I asked it in the sense of being like, I can't think of what would possess you to read this script and do it anyways. Maybe, yeah, so I guess that was giving him the benefit of the doubt. But on the other hand is probably the money, yeah.
For that fresh chingle.
The money,
chingle?
The exposure, and the ability to work with Adam Sandler.
But, like, at what cost? Like, you might as well kill a person with Adam Sandler to say you did something with him that...
Listen, I would 100%...
hurt fewer people.
I would definitely... If they had asked me to be in that movie, I probably would have done it.
Well,
and I would have hated every second of it. But I'm not Andy Samberg.
Yeah, the point is, we're pieces of shit. If we unironically enjoy being in a bad Adam Sandler film and not watching it, but being in it...
If Adam Sandler came up to us and was like, I got this part for both of you guys, and it's literally... 5 seconds of him walking through and we're out on the side of the road sitting at a table going, this shit sandwich sure is good. And you go, I love eating shit. And that's all we say. We would still do that part. Actually, I'd love to do that part.
See, that would be great. Or the other one I was thinking of while you're talking about that is we play conjoined twins and he runs through us like the tape at the end of a marathon just
breaks
splits us. And then we just look at each other and smile and run in opposite directions super fast.
Yeah. That's not bad.
It'll be a good cameo.
I got to get to the hospital.
We just do the speech from Coming to America. Yeah. Mortimer, I think we're back. When he just hands the
Randolph.
Two guys from Trading Places. Frozen concentrated orange juice. Do you think anyone who listens to this has seen Coming to America or Trading Places?
Listen, I'd like to think that they've seen at least one of them.
You're the one giving everyone the benefit of the doubt tonight. Keep going.
Well, I think if you're going to see one, it probably wouldn't be Trading Places. It'd probably be Coming to America.
I agree with you.
So, I mean, we're also kind of looking like a good portion of our audience is probably around our age and had that experience of seeing movies they didn't expect to see on like VH1 at like Wednesday night at 9:30. Like, I don't know what the fuck, I don't know what's going on. I'll turn on VH1 and boom, there's the movie. Like, you might not have known you saw parts of that movie, but you did.
Yep. Your brain remembers you did because you somehow tuned to the same spot in The Temptations every single time it's on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, aren't you remember The Temptations? And then he drives his car away, leaves him shot on the road. Every single time. It's either that part or the one when he walks up on stage, says his name, and says, "And these are The Temptations." And they all look so fucking pissed. It's the two scenes I always tune in on.
That's I get that one fewer. And I haven't watched VH1 in a long time. I got that one fewer.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since, I don't know, 2013.
I miss those days, dude, where you just put the TV on and see what the TV was giving you. Yeah. You really had no say in the matter.
What's FX giving me? Come on, give me something good.
Oh, 2 hours of The Simpsons and I'm catching it right at the beginning? Yep. Hot damn.
Guess I know what I'm watching.
Oh, no, they're all from 2018 or later?
Yeah.
Fuck.
It was one of those things I saw, like a meme online where they were talking about that feeling that you had as a kid when you were trying to get something from the kitchen and someone's like, "It's back on! It's back on!" And you're like, "Oh, fuck!" And you had to grab your shit and run the fuck back in. And one of the comments from somebody who was obviously younger was like, "Well, why didn't you just fucking pause?" And everyone's like, "Oh, sweetie.
Oh, my sweet summer child.
Oh, why did... Well, pause? No." And then having to explain to them. I remember the first TV I had had a dial, for fuck's sake.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, when I was real young. You had that one channel that was fucking all bars and shit. Goddamn.
We're going to be telling people that when we're like 80. I had a television with a dial.
Dude, I always make the joke where I'm like, we're going to be telling people like we lived at a time when like there were still phone poles.
Yeah, true. That shit's going to get buried.
I think that shit's going to get buried probably in the next 20 years. Like there's going to be so many, like I always try to think about weird shit like that. Like what is the thing that's going to go next?
That's hard to conceptualize.
Right? They're going.
Without all those utility lines.
Yeah, that shit's going away at some point. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's going to be a couple of leaps in power is really what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's always safer to have it up above, too, if like a transformer blows.
Are we finally going to get back to our original passion in America, which was electrocuting elephants to like...
To show people that you shouldn't trust Tesla.
Yeah. That current is straight dangerous. Look what I did to this elephant.
Edison, he was such a great dude. No, motherfucker. He just took people's patents.
Yeah, he was just petty. He was Beyonce petty.
Oh, he was a piece of shit. He just made money off other people.
Thomas Edison really was the Beyonce of his time. Mm-hmm. People really don't want to admit it, but
he was. Don't you get those people on us. Yeah, they're going to come here and yell at us. Got me looking so crazy right now.
Are we getting back to electrocuting elephants to make a petty point about?
We're definitely at the time where we're making petty points. No one can argue with me that that's like not half of what America is about. It's just sticking it in someone else's craw over literally fucking anything you can. It's half of what our show is built on. So, I mean, no one can tell me that's not America. This is America.
That was America.
I'm waiting for the next song. I don't know.
Here's the thing, man. We absolutely, I think, need to be literally antagonizing people more because we were talking about it before the show, and we have like 24 to 30 people who tune into this thing at any given time.
Yeah.
They don't even really wait for the, like, "Oh, it came out today. I'll listen to it immediately." They're like, "I'll listen to that when I get to it."
Yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of audience we got. They don't take no shit, which I appreciate.
24 might even be an overestimation.
There's a couple of bots. I'd also like to think that somewhere there's someone trying to learn English and they just had to pick a podcast, any content. And for some reason, we got lucky and they're just trying to keep up while they write it down so that they can look at it later. And they're not doing well. They're not doing so great in the class. More power to them. They probably wish they'd pick something else. They could have listened to like Murder Mystery Podcast.
Or Muzzy.
History Podcast. They could have chosen wisely. They could also have gotten to a curriculum that used, Rosetta Stone?
Yes. Isn't Babbel an app? Babbel.
There's one that's super effective. I think it's Rosetta Stone. There was one like proven, like you're going to get great at this. You know,
Forget English, but you'll know German.
So it's like, well, it's pretty great. I hate the commercials that I used to see for that crap. It's pretty amazing when I had my first dream in Spanish. It's like, fuck you. You fucking...
Fuck that.
Yeah, no. Just, that's why from that day on I said, I will not ever learn any other language besides English.
I refuse.
It's not because I can't learn them. It's because I won't learn them. No, I can't. I have a really hard time with languages for some reason.
It's tough. It depends on the language. I think French throws me off. Italian and Spanish, romance languages like that.
Oh, romance languages. I get the romance languages.
Oh, it's
highly erotic. Look at this fucking guy over here.
I like the language of eroticism, which is, of course, Klingon.
Klingon.
Chak-ni.
I am a warrior.
Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. Timba, his arms wide. Better hope you watch Star Trek or you're not getting any of this.
Just getting a couple of Star Trek references in there. A couple of Worfs. That's nice.
Shaka when the walls
fell. We're getting back to our roots with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's nice. Fucking Wesley Crusher, shut the fuck up and go somewhere else.
Go be
What are you even doing in Ted Forward?
What's the dude's name? The Stranger? The Traveler?
The Traveler.
The Traveler?
Yeah.
Fucks off with that like intergalactic Nambla guy.
We didn't know what to do with Will Wheaton's. That's what that was.
We released him into the care of some elderly man who walked around frequently in a robe and no underwear.
The studio was getting pretty tired of paying for his education on set, and we went, fuck this. Traveler.
Why are we doing this? This is a huge waste of time. Yeah. This guy's just going to be a shill for us.
Yeah.
Which is true. He's the pitch shill for all Star Trek.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. He hosts the like behind the scenes after show.
I'm Will Wheaton.
He's the Chris Hardwick of the Star Trek CBS bullshit.
Boo. Give us Jonathan Frakes. I don't care if he's retired. Boo.
Oh, man.
Jonathan Frakes is one of those people where I'm like, look, if you get him right now to agree that you can just use him as a hologram, just use him. Just use him.
He should sell his likeness rights. That's one guy I think should do it, because then we'll always have the fact or fiction voice.
We will always have him, right? He can do it for any number of things, and he'll have signed on to it pre-mortem. So I feel better about it rather than when it's like, oh my God, look, there's Michael Jackson dancing on stage with Lil Nas X. Like, well, look at that crap. This is crazy. Whoever the fuck. I don't know.
Grinding on a hologram.
I don't know what kids are listening to these days. Am I several generations behind? I got no fucking clue, man.
Is Kids Bop still a thing? Would that help us?
Kids Bop 73.
If you're over a certain age and you buy Kids Bop, do you get a visit from the FBI?
We pump out 3 of those a year.
They do. I'm pretty sure they still do.
It's crazy.
All your favorite,
because it's sang by kids. 40 awesome songs sang by people who don't sing them as well.
Do you think they did a Kids Bop up version of WAP? Wet ass pussy.
Probably not. Probably not that one.
I don't know. Let's go to the tape.
I bet you Kids Bop is fairly clean for the most part.
It's clean. They would
it all for the Nookie. Hey, the Nookie.
They would do that, but they change it to Cookie. They would. That's what they do.
And you could take that cookie and stick it up your yeah.
Yay.
I don't know if they can get away with that one.
Let's see.
I don't know how mom in the soccer van would be feeling about putting that one on.
Kids Bop.
Wow. Meanwhile, the DVD players, which are now Blu-ray players, which I'm sure are going to be somehow pushing Wi-Fi in the next couple years. Are playing something horribly violent. Just super violent.
Ain't that America?
But as long as they don't say bad words or show a titty. This is the one thing I thought the internet was going to change. Was like Hulu and Netflix was a lot more of like... Well, I guess it has in a lot of ways. At least for me. Certainly didn't change television at whole, though. I hate that I go on Hulu every now and then and hear things that are bleeped. Because kids might be watching this, too.
Yeah, that's weak sauce.
I'm just like, I don't know. I don't get why
you... I agree with you. I agree with you, man. That's weak sauce. I hate that. You should just have the option to turn that on or off. If it's a kid's account, it'll be bleeped. If it's an adult account, then you should get to hear the fucking swear words.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can see boob.
I feel like it's more cost effective for them to do it one way and be done with it, which sucks. Maybe that'll change. Maybe, again, I'm kind of cynical when it comes to looking at TV. You got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got Amazon, you got Stars, blah, blah, this and that, Peacock. I think eventually someone's going to explain to them why Amazon Prime's yearly pay model is more cost effective, because you can get people to pay technically more for a service that they wouldn't have had as long, whereas you then make those monthly subscriptions more prohibitively priced so that somebody who might have really only wanted to watch 6 months worth of content will buy a year's worth because it seems more cost effective when really it's not. I think that's going to happen with Netflix. I think it's going to happen with Hulu. They're going to start by giving the option for the yearly subscription if most of them don't. I know Disney Plus does. And then eventually everyone's going to start doing that. And then eventually it's going to be what they did with like Disney, ESPN, and Hulu. And they're going to start packaging like cable used to. until eventually everybody has to have their Netflix, Hulu, blah, blah, all package subscription. Otherwise, you don't get any of them.
Well, and they already kind of do that with YouTube TV. Yeah. That's essentially just cable. Because, like, you watch what's on. I don't think you get a lot of on-demand options. And you get channels like BET and the local news.
Yep. Dude, trying to get people I know that are of that generation to, like, cut the cord from basic cable because of how stupid expensive it is, all get suckered in with the potential go to YouTube option. Because it's like, how much is that per month? It's a lot.
It's like $70 a month.
It's like $70 a month. So if you're spending $70 on internet, right, which seems to be fairly standard for like 100 megabits of internet, that's like $140 right there plus tax, plus any other subscriptions you're getting to fill that void.
Well, to add on to something like that, like you're saying, like if you could hook your Netflix onto YouTube TV, well, have all your accounts in one central place.
It's like what Prime does, because I can get Stars on Prime. They're doing this thing right now where they're being like, well, you can get this for a month for a dollar. After that, it becomes $14.99, but you can just cancel for that dollar. So most people just buy it and forget to cancel. Oh, shit, well, I got it for another month. I spent like $3 and got a couple of them, and then just boom, immediately canceled that shit.
Yep.
Turns out most of them suck. You get like one or two things like, wow, this is pretty good. And then the rest of it is just shit content.
Yeah. It's like Paramount Plus pretty much only has those South Park specials and not a whole hell of a lot.
To be fair, they've got a lot of Star Trek. But it all depends on if you've seen it or not, or if you give a shit about the bad Star Trek, of which there are many. I finally went back and watched Star Trek Wrath of Khan last week. Everyone's like, if you're going to watch Star Trek, man, Wrath of Khan, that's the fucking... So much exposition. Don't be wrong. I get when it was written. So much exposition to get to explain who this guy is. And like, I didn't watch any of the original Star Treks. So I don't know if Khan was mentioned in their original run. I don't know.
He was on the show. He showed up once, yep.
So it's a continuation of that. So I had to catch up mentally for that. And then... just kind of like try to, I don't know. It's just a lot slower paced, very static as the original Star Trek was. And did not really give me a lot of interest in watching Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock.
Yeah, isn't there one where they like talk to intergalactic whales or the whales talk to God or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I watched, again, of the Star Treks of the original, I tried watching a couple episodes. I tried watching the iconic, I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah, I think we watched that
if
together.
If I don't, they'll kill us both.
I think we picked a random episode and that turned out to be the one.
We tried to get through that. We actually didn't get to that moment. We sped up and watched it because it was so fucking dry and so slowly paced and so poorly fucking acted that we gave up. We gave up on that shit. And did not watch any more Star Trek. I haven't been back to watch the original Star Trek since then, which is kind of a bummer. I wish it was like this amazing, compelling thing from the 60s that was like so fucking good. It doesn't matter that it's these shitty cardboard sets and it's two dudes on the inside opening and closing the doors and random shit like that. You know, you forgive all that because it's such an interesting thing. It's really bad. It's real fucking bad.
It's pretty gruesome. Like, you appreciate it for, like, what it means to the culture, but trying to, like, sit down and see if you'd enjoy it, you're just being respectful to the material. You're not really doing anything that enhances your life.
And I watched...
So why do it?
I tried to watch the movies. Because everyone, again, I was trying to figure out the universe a little bit. I've watched the Next Generation stuff with Picard. I fucking love the cheesiness there for some reason. I guess. I'm biased. I just find the storyline's better. It's a little bit more of a clip. And, I tried watching Star Trek 1, the first movie, whatever, I can't remember what it's called, Home something, the Frontier, I don't know. And then that's so fucking slowly paced. It's basically like a really long episode of a show, and it's awful. It's about them finding the Voyager probe that's basically found by like some kind of technologically advanced species of robots. And they see another robot out there, and all they want to do is help it, but they don't really understand its purpose. They just think it's like them. So they make it intelligent and kind of build it up. And Voyager's whole purpose was just to kind of take in information and then report home. So its whole purpose is just to do that, but it's like confused and pain and like causes all these fucking problems. So it's kind of interesting concept that doesn't need anywhere near as much time to finally get there. And then when they do get there, it's an explanation. Like, that's, oh, I understand now, says Kirk. You know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then the second one was just so slowly paced. I'm like, I don't know. I don't fucking.
Yeah. It's like some of the Planet of the Apes movies. Some of them hold up. Some of them don't.
Yeah, but they made like eight of them.
They made quite a few.
It's ridiculous, man.
They made quite a few.
I tried watching the new TNG ones, too. And those kind of bummed me out.
Oh, what? Like Nemesis and that bullshit?
Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe Nemesis is the one I haven't seen. Is that the Romulan one?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I've seen all of the other ones, though. Like with the people with the weird skin on their face that like constantly have to like staple back and shit.
Insurrection.
That's interesting, albeit a little kind of excessively weird and gross.
It's very hokey.
It's hokey. And then I watched First Contact.
Yep.
Which is where they meet the Borg Queen.
Classic Borg. Yep. Ruins the whole concept of the Borg to have a Borg Queen.
Ruins the whole fucking concept. So I hated that movie. Yep. Really pissed me off. Even though like it was really just supposed to be a huge like vehicle for Data. It just kind of sucks.
And then like they, by the time Nemesis rolls around, it's Patrick Stewart trying to prove that he's a viable, sexy hunk action hero.
Yeah.
He's running around in a tank top, shooting a gun and screaming. Remember when Captain Picard did that on the show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
he didn't.
I remember there's a couple times where they put him in that weird thing that shows his whole front as Picard. They do one episode where he's on Risa with what's her fucking name?
Oh God, yep. Yeah, what is
Vosh?
It? Vosh.
And they're getting this disc to bring him to this powerful thing that could be used poorly, and he destroyed it, whatever. But he's on Risa, which is basically the fuck planet. We've talked about the fuck planet before.
Oh, it's the pleasure planet.
It's the fuck planet, and he just wears like just like the little short shorts and shit, you know. And you're like. So fucking weird seeing him like this. Why don't you put Riker in this situation?
Yeah, Riker usually got in all the sexy antics.
Yeah, Riker was the sexy antic guy, and Picard was like the moral center that they followed. So, it was weird seeing him every now and then. Enter as he comes into his room. I was just sleeping, and he's just all fucking...
Hello, Ensign.
I'm in my 90s.
My jam-jams.
It's also weird thinking about him and then realizing what he did later with American Dad as Avery Bullock.
Yeah.
Where it's just him being super off-putting as a cartoon character.
That's the thing is he has a great sense of humor. He's a great actor and he has a great sense of humor. But this idea that he can also, on top of all of that, be an action star.
No.
Well, especially not anymore. You're 90 years old, man.
Not anymore.
You're 110 years old, probably.
Go back to doing funny voice work. Ah, Stan. Yeah. It's just him being like, I'm a member of a group of responsible cocaine users. And then 3 seconds later, Stan walks out and he falls through the roof covered in cocaine. Ah! And he freaks the fuck out. It's funny. It's funny stuff. Go watch American
Dad. Classic American Dad.
Way better than Family Guy. You just got to get through some of the weird tropes and understanding that Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland Show are all the same fucking show.
Yeah. Well, with some key differences.
Oh, yeah?
Family Guy would do the absurdest stuff with the cutaways. And American Dad did way more like plot-based, conceptual weird, and they like went weird. They could make references that Family Guy couldn't make because Family Guy has to appeal to, let's be honest, the Larry the Cable Guy fans.
Yeah, you got to have stupid, dumb person does exceptional things.
People who don't always make it to the bathroom on time and may or may not know how to accurately wipe.
Well, that's how I always thought about Family Guy, too, was it was like the thing that made you feel better. It's the kind of the same way The Simpsons did it, is... These people aren't really stupid because look how well they do.
But The Simpsons was very intricately written for like the first 10 years. It was
for a while.
Funniest shows on TV.
Sure.
Now Homer's been reduced to being a fucking idiot. A fat idiot.
Well, that whole show flanderized itself, which they coined.
Yes.
Which is too bad. They need to stop.
And that was one thing that Family Guy had in its favor is it never came through like it was like a clever and innovative look at the American suburbs and the nuclear family in America, small town America.
Sure.
He was just like, I kind of want it to be a funny, fat, drunk guy who says inappropriate stuff.
And they do weird shit sometimes.
And we cut away to things that seem funny to us. Mm-hmm. Like, what if you had Midnight in the Olive Garden of Good and Evil? Like, there you go. There's one.
Yep. Fair.
The whole South Park assessment of manatee balls, also very correct.
True. Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying this is a guy who has laughed at Family Guy.
Sure, some of it's really good. Some of it's funny.
A lot of it. I enjoy a lot.
Well, let's be honest. Everything, like, it doesn't make a funny show if it has funny moments. You know, it has to have all of that. It kind of has to have a good plot. Like, I realized the time, I was like, I think I'm kind of done with Family Guys when they really just tried way too hard as they're like bringing Quagmire to Korea or Japan.
Oh.
They're bringing Brian to India and, you know.
Even before that, when they started doing those, like the road to Europe and the road to Tunisia and whatever the fuck,
sure.
These little specials, these like Bing yeah. Crosby, Bob Hope comedies that Brian and Stewie started doing.
Sure.
Started getting like real unfunny and up their own ass.
Well, again,
I'm
when
like,
they
hey,
started
man.
And it was the musical number so they could steal the camels and get off the part of the adventure and like that episode. I can't even remember what it was. I was thinking they were trying to get Rupert the bear or something.
Rupert.
Fucking, it's that fucking thing. That like you get away with it once. Do the episode once.
I just when they started doing like two-parters and stuff, I'm like, no, I'm more interested in this as a consistent 26-minute gag a minute.
Yeah.
Funny, crass thing. Like the Lando Griffin episode where he goes back to yeah. high school to stop yeah. the toad-licking epidemic.
Licking toads.
Right in the pocket.
Yeah, it's
the
pretty
Grease
good.
The Grease parody becomes the most popular kid.
Sure.
That was my Family Guy. That was very funny to me.
That was like earlier Family Guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so like, that, someone's like, that was season 7. Be like, okay, yeah, early Family Guy. Isn't that weird to say?
And you know what? I would go so far as to say, like, maybe it is up to season 7 where I'm like, this is funny. I enjoy mm-hmm. this. And then it did just start to become like, poop lasagna.
Yeah, it needed to find its groove, and then it found its groove, and then it became this the show that died by committee because it takes like 6 months to make an episode. It's like something like 6 months.
Yeah, and they make like super outdated references like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's gonna live forever.
It's one of those things where now I'm like, I'm fine with people watching it because this is just employing so many people at this point. Like for it to take 6 months to go from start to finish, that means they're employing so many people along the way to do various things that otherwise I have to go find something else and have been doing Family Guy for fucking a decade plus, you know? So let them do it. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing really is laziness. Like, Family Guy at this point is just laziness. It's for people who love Guy Fieri and Larry the Cable Guy and Donald Trump.
It's the opposite of the people.
I threw him in there to really drive the knife in.
Well, and again, I find Seth MacFarlane, I don't really necessarily begrudge him for it because what I would do for $100 million, right, is the sort of thing where you look at it and go, he probably at some point looked at himself in the same way Dave Chappelle looked at himself. Obviously without the racial overtones, and went, I'm going to keep doing this. Whereas it broke Dave Chappelle, and he was like, I'm going to run the fuck away to Africa. There was probably a moment when Seth MacFarlane jumped the shark and looked at things like Family Guy and went, I can keep doing this, or I can stop and move on to other things. And he was like, I'll do both, and kept doing all of it.
Yeah.
And just and fucking turnkeyed that shit, though. You know what I mean? He comes in and does the voice, and that's what he fucking does.
Family Guy is a turnkey operation, and despite the writing that goes into making it very funny, so is American Dad.
Sure, it is now.
Seth yeah. MacFarlane clocks in on that. No more Cleveland Show. His passion is the Orville.
Yep. That's where he gets his shit going.
And the Orville's very good.
Mm-hmm. This new season, not funny at all. But
no.
A good arc. Pretty good arc.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Hey, did you see the new Game of Thrones?
I did. I did see the new Game of Thrones.
So did I.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
What are your thoughts?
I'm not super into it.
No. I think that it's pretty paint by numbers.
I think the CGI has gotten worse.
I think that they went, this is a pilot, we're going to see how many people watch it, and then we're going to throw money at this.
Well, they made an entire season, so in theory, the CGI...
Well, no, the CGI is going to get better. That was the pilot. Like, well, that was the pilot, so... If episode 2 doesn't look better than episode 1, then I'll agree with you.
But, dude, you have to come strong out of the gate. You can't cheap out on the dragons in a show about the Targaryens.
Sure.
You cannot. You can't go, we'll wait and see. I think it got a straight-to-series order. So I'm pretty sure it was like, you got to just make all this shit.
Maybe.
And the dragons don't look good, man. And I wonder if it's going to be like a She-Hulk type thing where they have like a week to work on the effects in between episodes. So they're like... The effects are going to get better as they go because they're still working on them.
Maybe.
You know?
Yep. It definitely might be. It's weird. I don't know. It's It's got some interesting things. I don't need to get like super like incel-y bro-y over it.
Do it.
Here's the thing, man. It's really funny the way like we know all about what's about to happen because we hear Arya Stark talk about it a lot through the regular Game of Thrones story, you know? So it really seems shitty that like of all the stories we could have gotten that this is the one we get, which is sort of like this middle of the pack interest. Like, don't get me wrong, like the first queen kind of thing, like her fight to power. But doesn't that kind of seem like we're like, you know, like pandering? And I sit there and go, yeah, it's definitely pandering, but we got to see how the story turns out. I would say that after the first episode, they kind of laid on a little thick.
It's very hammy.
And it's very, the thing that bothers me is you sitting there and you're going, here comes the violence. This is when some violence is going to happen. How, don't skimp out on the violence. Ooh, it's real gory. And it's fun in the first episode. But the reason that's good in a show like Game of Thrones is because you give a fuck when the mace is buried into the face of someone you didn't expect it to.
Right. You're invested by that point. This is the first episode. They're like, Game of Thrones. We've got to Flanderize Game of Thrones and make it a
parody. Cut some limbs off and have some things and we'll make this really dark scene. And this is the bad guy. Clearly the bad guy.
When that guy, the guy that played Doctor Who, the bad guy.
Yep.
When he came through in his little dragon helmet for the jousting, I laughed out loud.
I think he looks kind of dumb.
It's fucking... dude, it's so awesome.
He looks like a sad little baby face man.
They're trying to make the Targaryens so metal, and they're whiffing, and I love it.
Yeah, I just want to be like, man, you guys like could have just dyed some people's hair and got... Like, you guys are going with a real specific vibe here. It's whatever. You know, I'm interested to see the what's the girl's name? Rhaenyra. I'm interested to see what that
old one.
I'm waiting to see what that actress does. She's not terrible. But they didn't give her a hell of a lot to work with. I think that scene with her dad could have been a little bit better, where he's like fine, like he's laying this shit out on her, because he's not for this fucking world. You know, something's gonna happen to dad soon. We're just all waiting for the shoe to drop.
Well, and everyone in this universe lives to be 24, and they're all played by 58-year-old actors, but they're all, like, 24.
Yeah. It's one of those things that kind of bums me out, because, again, you could have found anybody to do this. You could have found people who were age-appropriate, but you didn't. And I get it. Maybe it's because, like, well, if this person was age-appropriate, something really fucked up has happened, and they'd be 12. And you're like, well,
that's the thing.
Thanks, George R. Martin.
I read into it in that Rhaenyra character would be 8 if they were following the books.
Great.
I think they have a 25-year-old playing her. And they just don't mention how old anyone is.
Yeah. Well, and see, and the thing that bums me out is, as fucked up as it is, that's half the shit you kind of need to know. Because it helps you, like, know more about the characters.
Contextualize.
It helps you contextualize everything. You're like, holy shit, dude, what were you doing when you were fucking 10? And it cuts to me, like, falling off my bike and be like, fuck! I've got this big cut in my knee. And then it cuts to this shot where they're fending off someone with a mace. And you're like, holy fuck! That's interesting, but we're not going to get any of that.
I think
we're going to get HBO's version of it.
We're probably getting some HBO version incest. Probably no incest sex scenes.
I mean, we already have watched the man hold his wife, who I assume was a cousin or sister of his.
Wait a second. You about to spoil this?
I mean, do we want to? I mean, we've been spoiling the whole fucking episode, haven't we?
Not really. We've been talking in pretty broad strokes about our impressions of the characters. We're not really
people
using
dying
a lot of names.
And blah blah blah. Okay, that's fair. You're
I left
right.
out a great visual bit that I wanted to spoil and I didn't.
Oh, okay, well then I won't say it.
I think people, we're assholes. We're not that big of assholes.
Okay, but people. Yeah, it hasn't been that long. You're right.
Not to railroad you. I just want to give people a chance.
Nope. I swallowed some ice the wrong way. I got my comeuppance.
Oh no, Jesus. He's dying. Jesus Christ.
Everything hurts.
His eyes are rolling back in his head like a big scary shark.
Oh my God, his eyes are foaming now. How is that happening? Any hoozle.
God damn.
I would say I'm going to keep watching it knowing it's going to break my heart.
I'm in now. In for a penny, in for a pound. You got to watch the whole season and give it a shot.
The thing that makes me sad, and trying to keep it broad, is if you watch the original Game of Thrones... And you heard all of this stuff from Arya, and you looked into it a little bit, then of all the storylines they could have ran with, this one you're going to know a lot about. And that kind of, for me, precludes a lot of the tension.
Oh, yeah.
Which bums me out. We're still going to get to see some interesting things. It just makes it sad because I'm not looking at the whole scope of characters going, what's going to happen here? I'm just sort of going... pay attention to the ones they build up, because these are the ones that are going to die, which kind of bums me out. And I'm hoping that they do it in a good way.
The thing is, George R. R. Martin is heavily involved.
Well,
and it's
finally.
The show he wanted. It's and he's like the big time keeper of the lore, which means they're not going to change stuff. So if you know any of this lore, you know what happens in the show. And I know this lore. So I know where the show's going.
Yeah.
So I'm a victim of exactly what you're talking about.
Kind of a
there
bummer.
There is no tension for me anymore.
Yeah,
I know exactly what's coming.
Which bums me out, because it makes me think about like the lead up to like the Red Wedding. Or, you know, when Pedro Pascal's character fights the mountain.
Oberyn Martell.
Oberyn Martell, thank you. Like, when those moments happen, I'm wondering how it's going to come out, you know? Even though, like, kind of the Red Wedding, I kind of knew. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen. And so there was some tension there. What's the outcome of this going to be? Are they going to change some stuff up? How many people does it involve? You know? Especially because of how close Clegane and Arya were and all that. I was like, this is going to be really, you know. So, like, that episode and the one after it were kind of interesting for me. Like, really, like, tense-wise. And I'm looking at this season. I'm looking at the show going, I don't know if it's going to be there. I don't know if it's going to be there.
I mean, the bubbles burst for me because I was so into Game of Thrones at one point that I ravenously consumed all the behind-the-scenes stuff I could.
And all the early
and
content.
I learned the lore because yeah. I thought that we'd never see it. Mm-hmm. And now they've gone and done it. And if I want to objectively watch the show, I have to watch something where I know all the plot points already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be lying to you if I said that didn't take away some of the enjoyment.
Sure. I mean, I know a bit about it, but I don't know all of the things. So I'm going to keep watching, hoping that I get surprised. But the first episode, like, betrays a lot.
Dude, the overt references to Game of Thrones are hilarious. I will spoil one thing. There's a moment where they're flying into King's Landing, yep. And it literally goes, dun, 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 and like right at the end, bails out, lets you know exactly what it is, like insert reference to Game of Thrones here. You guys yep. remember the theme song?
Yeah, well, they take the camera work, which goes through, you know, the castle, and you're like, oh, I remember this spot. I remember what happened here.
I had my first kiss there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so you see all these spots, but it's how long earlier? 900 something years or what?
It's like 1 or 200.
Oh, is it? Because, like, they give you a number where they're like, this is this many years before the bloody, bloody, blue.
I'm pretty sure that I hate that I know this.
The sploopy, bloopy,
pretty bloopy, sure bloopy. The Targaryen dynasty lasted about 300 years.
Okay. So this is like the real.
And the show is happening like 100 years into that reign.
Okay.
So I think it's like 200 to 150 oh, okay. years before.
So I was way off.
The beginning of it, literally, that's another funny part, yeah. is it does writing at the beginning, which is like, this takes place in blah, blah, after Aegon's conquest, 125 years before Daenerys Targaryen.
That's what it was, yeah.
And then everything fades out, and it's like 125 years before Daenerys Targaryen. I really wanted the number to fade off and just be like, Daenerys Targaryen.
Yeah.
Remember Daenerys Targaryen?
Remember all that? You guys want to be like, you don't want to be reminding people of any of that, because you guys really fucked that up.
Well, and Benioff and Weiss aren't involved in this in any way.
Well, good. They did so bad they ruined their potential, like, other shit.
Yeah, what are they doing right now?
I don't know, and I don't fucking care. I don't want to look it up, and if I ever am running across, like, something that they see, I'm going to turn that shit off. Don't want anything to fucking do with those guys.
Remember that show they were going to do about an alternative history where the Civil War was won by the South?
Yep. They were going to do that, where the South won the Civil War. And then, you know, somebody whispered to them, went, this is going to be the most tone-deaf fucking thing. If, like, you guys are the ones creating this? Okay, we're going to take that away from you.
This is going to be an embarrassing nightmare.
I'm pretty sure that was going to keep going until they botched Game of Thrones ending so much, and everyone kind of looked at themselves like, maybe they can't approach this topic very well, and took that shit away from them. I think they were also scheduled to do some Star Wars shit.
They were.
But then some scheduling stuff happened.
Mm.
That's what they said. It's scheduling things. You see, they have such a busy schedule, and we it's not going to fit with ours, which means, fuck you. We fired them, but we can't say we fired them because contractually that's frowned upon.
You know where their talents would best be utilized?
Shoveling shit?
If they brought back those, like, not another teen movie type things, like epic movie and date movie and stuff, let Benioff and Weiss start doing those. Their stupidity, yeah. Their natural stupidity would inform the comedy of those films, they would be works of art.
Oh my God, Charlie Sheen's character saved the day because that other person just forgot.
he kind of forgot that Charlie Sheen had HIV.
Yeah, and so that ends up being the thing that saves the movie. And someone goes, okay, great, $15 million. And they go, I guess. Mm.
Danny kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet. Yeah, word? Really,
really?
Bro?
Really?
Yeah.
Her biggest adversary.
She just forgot? No.
While she was doing something specifically that involved the sea. She just... Let's just go. Let's just go do it. I hate that. I hate it so much.
Yeah. And the fact that, first of all, it happens and you're left there being like, oh, why would she do something so stupid? This makes no sense.
Yep.
To then hear them try to make sense of it for you after the fact and be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
that's the laziest fucking non-answer ever. I don't know. They just kind of like didn't think about it. Really? Her tactician didn't think? Again, the whole last season hinges on Tyrion being a fucking moron. And for Daenerys, who again has a really, like, when you really look at her whole quote reign, she's doing shitty stuff the whole time. But conquerors at the time did bad fucking things. So you can't take that argument that Tyrion, that little speech he has to give at the end of the show, I should have known sooner, I should have known earlier, you know? You've been this person the whole time kind of thing. And you're like, fuck you, she was. She wasn't. She really, like, meant well and tried to do the right thing and tried to do good and realized her mistakes when they didn't work out. And that's what was supposed to make her a better ruler. And I get that, like, the reality that you need to paint is that the rulers of Westeros are never going to accept her. Period. And you write that fucking story. But we can't have that because we can't have nice things. We can't have nice things, man.
Well, and the thing is, I'm not even opposed to the heel turn.
No, I'm not opposed to the heel
going,
turn at all.
Her going cuckoo nanners.
Just show your work.
Didn't bother me.
No.
Well, you take more time
to
build that story because it literally did go from 0 to 60. Yeah,
but how are we supposed to take that time? I don't know. When you had the literal creator of the entire franchise begging you to do that.
Ten seasons. Of a seventh and an eighth that combined for like 13 episodes.
Yes. That's exactly it.
Not great, Bob.
Okay. And again, you're trying to figure out where the content comes from. I don't know. Maybe go talk to the guy. Maybe get him involved. But they didn't have him involved.
He became less and less involved as time went on.
Yeah, and you know why? Because Benioff and Weiss started getting tired of the fucking franchise as being their only fucking thing and saw all these outside people going, your fucking career is going to explode when you finish that there Game of Thrones.
You stick the landing on Game of Thrones.
When you guys fucking kill it, because you killed it all this way up until then, as they're very, very quietly removing the fucking creator from having the say, which, again, I think was probably at a certain point more of his suggestion, and they used it, and then once like they realized they wanted to go in a different direction, they were like, no, we've just been placating you here.
Well, honestly, and I wonder if he wanted to be involved or if he just fucked off or was some combination of the two.
The kind of money they probably presented him, but I can imagine being a book writer going from that to that might have been tedious seeing certain aspects of it or being involved in certain aspects. Not to say that that makes him a quick writer either.
It's been 11 years since the last book.
Yeah, he's never going to finish, by the way.
No.
He's never going to finish it.
He's all in on this dragon show.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. We sound like a bunch of bitter fucking nerds.
We started with Star Trek, so of course we're bitter nerds.
And that's the thing is, I think
don't you,
you're allowed to be with Game of Thrones
don't
because...
Don't you lob that like it's an insult. I can be a factual statement and that's I don't that doesn't hurt my feelings.
I can be proud of who I am.
I say to you, camp firewood.
I put it to... Hey, Ma, I'm okay. I just think that Game of Thrones, like How I Met Your Mother, spent a lot of time luring us into a false sense of security and then pulling the rug out from under
us. Sure. Well,
I hate when entertainment does that unjustified.
Well, and again, it's one of those things where they did. They had the How I Met Your Mother syndrome where they got to the final end of the show. They got to that really like they wanted to finish their story. There's more to say, but they wanted to finish their story. And so they did this thing where they took these beats and they encapsulated it over the entirety of the fucking season. And they thought that was a good way to convey the story. And they fucking failed. You can say that very conclusively about the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. You say the very same thing about the last fucking season of How I Met Your Mother. They tried very, very hard to tell the story. And there's good parts in there, sure. But when you look at the overarching thing, it just fucking fails the rest of the show so horribly. It's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. And to think that, like, they had it. to think that the Game of Thrones folk, the Benioff and Weiss, they fucking had it.
Oh, yeah.
They had the world at their fucking fingertips. They had other intellectual properties coming to them, big ones, going, hey, guys, you keep, like, think about that. If they had stuck the landing on Game of Thrones and continued on that trajectory, those were the kind of guys that were, like, in 10 to 20 years going to be living billion with a B. Like, that was though.
They were going to be the Spielbergs. It was going to be, like, a Spielbergian level.
Coen brothers.
Kind of clout on television. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For, like, premium television.
They were going to be the people you fucking come to. When you'd like, oh my God, these guys are doing this thing. They crafted this thing and they're working with J.J. Abrams and all these, and again, Spielberg, all these big fucking names, and everybody wants a fucking piece of them. And it's incredible how amazingly they failed. Think about that. Somewhere there's a universe where they really fucking killed it and they're off making their Civil War show.
Everyone's like, we get it now. We trust you.
And it's funny because everyone's looking at it going, oh, this is actually pretty good.
The show ended racism.
Yeah.
They're just heroes.
And you know what? And we don't fucking get that in this universe because this is the darkest timeline. I'm just letting everyone know. We live in the darkest timeline. That's a Community reference.
We live in the one where they tripped over their own dicks.
Yeah. We live in the sad stuff where everybody, like, you've got that goal. Everybody fails like it's the fucking Venture Bros. Everybody's got a goal. Everyone's got a purpose. And we're all going to fail a little bit while we get there.
I'm mad about television and I want someone to be responsible.
Yep. That's been the last, like, 40 minutes of the show.
I'm sure they've tuned out.
Oh, they
now.
Loved it. It's fine. They loved it. People love hearing us wax poetic about bullshit. Yeah, I don't know if they do. We might get yelled at. This might be one of those episodes where we get yelled at.
I think this is going to be, well, that's true. Whenever we do a great one, nobody chimes in.
Nobody says shit.
But at the end of something like this, everyone's going to be like, hey, wellness check.
Hey, are you guys doing okay?
The show really wasn't funny. Wow. Are you guys okay?
Well, no, we're not. We're not okay. Who didn't sleep? This guy. That's what you get. Me complaining about Star Trek and How I Met Your Mother.
This is what you get.
This is what you get.
This is what you get. You get what you put into this show, and no one's checked in a long time.
I think that the positive thing that they get is they get to go back to their happy lives, though, afterwards. They're like, wow, at least I'm not one of those two guys.
Damn. That's pretty fucked up. Honey, what about fried haddock for dinner?
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Get real crazy with
you guys. Give each other a little kiss. Oh, isn't that fantastic? Cut to me. I'm just smashing glass into my scalp. That's what I'm doing.
The podcast was bad today. I was a bad podcaster.
Stupid. Stupid decisions. Stupid words.
Just shampooing with broken glass.
With broken glass. So next time you see me, you're like, wow, that curly hair sure looks nice. How do you maintain that? Now do you know? That's how all curly people secretly maintain their hair.
It's because they hate themselves.
Because they hate themselves.
And punish their bodies.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'll call this episode, Shampooing with Glass.
That's pretty good.
It's a good one.
People should know from that time. If you got this far and didn't realize what this episode was about, now you get it.
This episode was like Shampooing with Glass.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
That's why you keep listening every week. Maybe next week will be better.
Come on back for another cleaning.
Yeah, try it.
Piggy.
Again, you like certain things, and you tell us, and we kind of remember them for a while, but I don't know. This is what you get.
Yeah, you're pretty meaningless in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No.
I also have a gnarly cough, so we're just going to sign off. So until next time, thank you, go fuck yourselves, and goodbye.